Brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this worship service, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And he greets you, grace to you, and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of kings over the earth. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 121, the verses 1 and 2. We now will listen to the holy law of our faithful covenant God to test our heart and life to this law as to the rule of thankfulness. Thereafter we'll sing from Psalm 139, the last verse. Psalm 139, verse 13, after the 10 words of God's covenant. God spoke all these words and is in Christ saying them to us today as well. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that's in the under the or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do not any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized this as follows: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. let's unite in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we thank thee that in our freedom and peace this morning we could come together to worship thee, rejoicing in thy nearness, warming ourselves in thy love. Lord, when we think about this, we can only marvel, since we are undeserving of thy love. From ourselves, we are not any better than those who do not serve thee. For Father, this morning, our sins too testify against us. It's only because of thy amazing grace in Jesus Christ that this morning we could come and appear before and appear in thy presence without any fear. Lord, and indeed we do marvel at so great a love towards us sinners. Marvel at that all-encompassing redemption which thou hast granted us by grace alone. And indeed, Father, that is all-encompassing, since in thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast granted us not only the forgiveness of sins in his blood, but also the renewal of life by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit within us. For Father, although we may receive forgiveness of sins, if nothing further had happened, we would continue to sin. But now thy Spirit dwells in us to guide us, so that more and more we may live Christ-like in a life that is worshipping thee. Lord, we thank thee that this morning thou wilt reassure us of all these riches, not only by the preaching of the gospel, but also by the celebration of the Lord's Supper, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, and then may hear, as surely as we take this piece of bread in our mouth and drink from the cup, so surely we have complete forgiveness of all our sins. So great is thy love. Father, help us to live then also in thankfulness. And again, we have to confess that so often we fall short in doing it. Lord, we do not always stand in awe as we should. And so we pray thee, grant that today's celebration of the Lord's Supper and the preaching of the gospel may also give us a new incentive, that we have that desire every day to do thy will, to hallow thy name, and to seek thy kingdom always first. Bless us, O Father, when we worship thee this morning. Help us to listen attentively, and grant that there will be no distraction, also when we sing our praises to thee, and may give our offerings of thanks to thee. Lord, be near to us as congregation here in Rockingham. Help all of us to live close to thee. Close to thee in merits. Strengthen the bond between husband and wife. Grandfather, that there is that self-denying love whereby we always seek the interest of the other first. And where there are struggles, Father, help us to humble ourselves. And wilt thou then restore what is broken. Help us as parents in raising the children thou hast entrusted to us. Make our families safe havens, where our children may grow up in a safe environment, also as far as the parents are concerned, Father, that there is no bickering between husband and wife, but that it is also in that respect a safe haven where children really feel at home and so may feel also the love of Christ radiated to them. Father, bless also the education at the John Calvin schools, the instruction in the catechism classes. Father, throughout all this, thou art building thy church, and help us also to see it that way, that we are instruments in thy service. To pray for those who are single or those who are married and would love to have more children or don't have even children. Be near to them as well, also to widows and widowers. Lord, grant that in all circumstances of life, we may give ourselves to thee and have peace with thy perfect plan. And help us then to trust and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gifts of thankfulness. The collection is for the work of the deacons. And thereafter we'll sing from hymn 15, the verses 1, 2, and 3. That's the rhymed version of Isaiah 40, on which we also focus in the preaching. Hymn 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. So let us turn to Isaiah 40 and read the first 11 verses of that chapter. Isaiah 40, a well-known section of God's Word. This morning we'll focus on the first 11 verses, the preaching. So we read that the Word of God as follows: Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem, and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So far from God's word, and that's also the text for the sermon. In response to the sermon, we'll sing from Psalm 23, the verses 1 and 2. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we focus on this passage of Scripture, I first like to say something about the context in which this passage should be read. With chapter 40, Isaiah starts the second part of his prophecies. The first chapters, chapter 1 through to 39, in those first chapters, the prophet calls for repentance. For if Judah would not repent, it would go with Judah as it went with the king of the 10 tribes, then also Judah would go into exile. And already in Isaiah's day, geographically, Judah had become very small. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, had captured almost all of the land. He had even laid siege to Jerusalem. It was only upon the interference of the angel of the Lord that the city had been left alone in one night. 185,000 Assyrians were killed. So it was until now that Jerusalem had been spared, but it would come if Judah would not repent. And we know that in the end also Judah had to go into exile. We read that in chapter 9. King Hezekiah, who previously had put his trust in the Lord, finally also trusted more in his might and political alliance with Babylon. Therefore, the Lord had said to King Hezekiah, the verses 5 through to 9 of chapter 39, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that's in your house, all that your fathers have accumulated until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So that would happen. So that would be the end of Judah, the end of Jerusalem. So that's the first part of Isaiah, but Isaiah thankfully doesn't stop there. For in wrath, God also remembers mercy. And then Isaiah, although still living at the time of Hezekiah, sees what would happen, how the Lord, after exile, would come back, and a remnant would come back into Israel, into the promised land. And that's what the chapters 40 through to 66 tell us. And that also futuring the coming of the Messiah. A new beginning. Comfort, comfort, says the Lord. Speak to Jerusalem that her warfare has ended. It's come to an end. You will come back in the promised land. Cry out to her that this will happen. That's God's sovereign grace. Now you see the fulfillment of all this, first of all, in the coming back to the promised land after exile. But then the final fulfillment, you could say, when Christ comes and pays for all our sins. And that's what we also celebrate today at the Holy Supper. Your warfare has ended. That means your sins have been forgiven. You will hear at the table complete forgiveness of all your sins. And that's what Isaiah says here. Your sins are forgiven. Israel could come back to the promised land. And when Christ came, he paid for it at the cross. And now we celebrate Holy Supper. Holy Supper. So that was going to happen. But then we read in verse 3. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The desert is a metaphor to say something about the spiritual condition of God's people. For were they ready to receive this king? Obstacles had still to be removed. That's how it went in those days, is the emperor would go somewhere, then some people would be sent beforehand so that the roads would be nice, that the emperor could travel along that. And even today, if the queen would visit Perth, then already a year before, all kind of things are made ready so that when she comes, everything is ready for the queen to come. And so Israel's spiritual condition had also to be ready that they could receive this king. But because of the sins committed, the road towards God had been broken up. In the past, the Lord had given prophets and kings to reconstruct this road, but there had also been false prophets, godless kings, who in turn had ruined that road again. And so a total change of life was needed. God's people needed repentance. And that's what the Lord calls for in verse 3. So that the people were also ready to receive that redemption which the Lord would give. That redemption is referred to in the verses 4 and 5. God himself would come to clear ways where there were no ways. He would make the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth with his mighty power, and so revealing his glory before the eyes of all flesh. The Lord would show his power to the nations. Again, that you see, when Israel, one of the only nations that was allowed to come back to its own land, God shows his glory to the nations, but ultimately again in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then even when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the people are not ready. We see that in the Gospels. And therefore, he too had an ambassador who went before him, John the Baptist, who said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is about to come. But if you want to receive him, you have to repent." Except the Lord Jesus. Many didn't. And that's how we also celebrate Holy Supper. Because when we read the form later on, Then it also says we have to examine ourselves. Do we see our sins? Have we repented from our sins? Are we ready to eat from the bread and to drink from the cup? And when we are ready, we may do that in thankfulness. So that's always the case. Again, just while we have example for a moment, I think of that some months ago there was a Q&A on ABC of Martin Arles. And there were gay people. And so this gay person said, "So you think that I would go to hell?" And he said, "No, I can't judge that. But for all of us, for you and me," he said, "the Lord says in his word, repent." I found that such a clear message. And that's the message we all have to hear. We don't sit here as people, we are okay, but every day again, the Lord calls us to repentance, to live a life new for him. These are the riches. For then the Lord also says at this table, when you in true repentance come to this table, complete forgiveness of all your sins. That's the miracle that we sinners can go to the table. And that's what we also thank the Lord for this morning in prayer. We carry on and go to verse 6a of verse 6, where it says, the voice said, "Cry out." And then it says, "What shall I cry?" Now, this voice is not the voice of the herald, which I mentioned before. No, this is the voice of heaven addressing Isaiah. "Cry out." And then Isaiah says, "What shall I cry? Lord, what can I say? Israel is in exile. As far as the eye meets, there is hardly any future. What's left of God's people is no more than withered grass." Lord, is that the message that want me to preach to the gospel? Is that a nice message, the flower of faith? Yes, but why? Why? Verse 7, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. In other words, all that happened is the work of God Almighty. He is in control. Many things change in this world. World powers come and go. But the word of God stands. God does not change. That's the message Isaiah was allowed to pass on to people who had been carried away into exile. And in exile, they were confronted with the perishableness of their own life. But God's word did not perish. And so the promises of old would still be fulfilled. What an encouraging message that is also for us, beloved. Isaiah lived 70 centuries before Christ. We live 20 centuries after Christ. And during all these centuries, many things have changed. But the word of God did not change. The Lord is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the beauty of reading the Bible. You read these promises in the beginning of the Bible and you see how God, through all the upheaval of the nations, through all the stubbornness of his own people, still brings the Messiah into the world. 4,000 years they had to wait. But the Messiah came. God's word did not change. And Christ says, "I will be with you to the end of the age, and then I will return." And that stands, beloved. You never have to doubt that. Because the word of God never changes. That's the comfort. So God has in that way cleared away also through the wilderness of our life, through all the sins, he has worked faith in our hearts by which we can embrace the Savior. And that's how we celebrate Holy Supper today. Our sins have been pardoned. We may look further also than the horizon of this day. It's because of this gospel that we may look further, that in a life full of turmoil, we have security. Security in an ever-changing world. But God's word stands forever. Today's society, many people feel lost. People who do not know how to cope with all the difficulties they face in life. Think of the present pandemic, the mental stress that comes with it. But we have God's word. That's our stronghold. And that's how the Lord gives thanks every day again. No, not automatically. But when you open God's word, that doesn't go by itself. But when you live close to God's word, then life can be hard at times. A veil of tears. But then in the valley, in the darkness of the night, we may open our Bible and read God's promises. Who gives power to the weak, increases strength to those who have no strength. Strength received from above. When we live close to God's words, then we have security. Coming to the last verse of the text, we see that God manifests his power not only by deliverance and vengeance, but also in very tender care. It says, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. It's a moving passage for people in exile. At times they saw that the Lord had forgotten them. You read it also in this chapter. But the Lord says, I have not forgotten you. Behold, your God is coming. He was King of Kings. He confessed it at the beginning of this worship service. Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the King over the rulers of this earth. He is King. But he's also a shepherd of his flock. And then Isaiah pictures God's care for his people using that image of a shepherd. God's people return from exile. But God would care for them as a shepherd for his flock, giving special attention to those who needed it most. The little lambs still had to be carried. Those who, with young, could not be pressed on, but were let quietly, gently. That's how God took care of his Old Testament church. And that's how he takes care also of his New Testament church. Through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the flock, who in turn has appointed under-shepherds to tend the flock, the office bearers, who may comfort the congregation by pointing them to Christ. He will care. He will care when life has become frail due to old age, or when we are still young. He cares for us during the day when we are at work or at home. He's there to care for us by day and by night. He knows us. And he knows it also when we find it difficult to cope, when we struggle with problems. He cares. When we feel maybe like giving up, when we may think there is no light in the tunnel anymore. But then sometimes we cry ourselves to sleep at night. But then the Lord even sees those tears and he will dry them. That's the comfort. We celebrate also at the Holy Supper that this is our shepherd who laid down his life for the flock and now cares for us as a shepherd every day, every night. Amen.
Thank you.
We will now continue with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper table, we invite all confessing members of this congregation. It consists here also, before this Holy Supper, says our celebration of the Lord's Supper is closely supervised. If you are not a member of this congregation or an announced visitor, while we encourage you to remain with us in church, we ask you to do not come forward and join in eating and drinking at the table. This is in no way a judgment on your faith in Christ. Instead, it's because the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord's Supper is a communal celebration and that as church community, we are responsible to keep the table holy. Further, we care for the body of Christ and the unity of faith that we share as members of this church. We call one another to account, and the celebration of the Lord's Supper is a central part to the way we practice this care and discipline for our members. For these reasons, we believe it is good and according to the word of God for us to supervise the Lord's table in this way. So let us now read the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper as you find it on page 603 of your Book of Praise. Beloved our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through to 29. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let the person examine himself and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. And we must also use it as Christ intended it, namely to his remembrance. True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart whether he also believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him, only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded, and count them worthy to partake of the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this destiny in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, be admonished all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone, or who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. although are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them, or who violate human life, or cherish hatred against their neighbor, and refuse to be reconciled to him, or who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure, or who by stealing, greed, or extravagance lead a worldly life, or liars, backbiters, slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life. While they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food, which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and in doing so acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith. We do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith, with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness that still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let's now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world, according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God caused by our sins pressed out of him sweat like drops of blood falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound, that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults, that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this he has taken our curse upon himself, that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross he humbled himself in body and soul to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That he might be accepted by God and evermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, it is finished. In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat this bread and drink from the cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It's a sure pledge that he's given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As certainly as this bread is broken before our eyes and this cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice. Once offered on the cross, it is the only ground for our salvation. Therefore he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving spirit. By this spirit who dwells in Christ as the head, and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness and glory. By the same spirit we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for you all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all incorporated in Christ by faith are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at this table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank thee that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to thy Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood, yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us and we in him. Let us so be truly partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as thy dear children and heirs. Grant us thy grace, that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. That in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Let's now profess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. We do so with the verses of the Apostles' Creed by singing hymn 1.
Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, whom our
Brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift up our hearts on high, in heaven, where Christ our advocate is, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let's not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood, through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink, in remembrance of him. As the table will be prepared, we'll sing from Psalm 43, the verses 4 and 5. Bread, which we break, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Also at the table this morning, the tables, we will read from the prophecies of Isaiah. We just turn to the next chapter, and we'll read a few verses of chapter 41. First of all, the verses 8 through to 10. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friends. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servants. I've chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You sing of that right hand of the Lord with Psalm 118, verse 4.
Thank you.
bread which we break is communion, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We continue our reading in Isaiah 41, in verse 14 through to 16. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into new threshing sleds with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them. The wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and the glory in the Holy One of Israel. Let's sing with Psalm 46, verse 4. Thank you. The bread, which we break, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Turning into Isaiah 41, we read the verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. The tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. We'll sing of that with Psalm 107, verse 14. This will be the last table for this morning. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We will read the doxology. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let's together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always judge, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give him? Also with him, graciously give us all things. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us sing that praise of the Lord in Psalm 23, verse 3. I lead you in thanksgiving and prayer. This morning we will thank the Lord that last night we received an email from the board of Fairhaven that they received an accreditation for another 2 years. So it's joy, we'll thank the Lord for that. For 2 years there is a new accreditation for Fairhaven. Let's give thanks and pray. Merciful God and Father, we thank thee that in thy boundless mercy thou hast given us thy only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise thee that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to life eternal. We thank thee that thou hast given us true faith, through which we may share in such great benefits. This morning we could be strengthened in this faith by listening to thy words and by the celebration of the Holy Supper, as Christ instituted it. Lord, grant that as fruit of all these blessings received this morning, we may also live a life of thankfulness to the glory of thy great and wonderful name. Yes, Lord, may our faith always be a living faith, not just in words, but also in deeds. Lord, be near to us, to each one of us in his or her own struggles. Be near to our young people, in fighting the temptations they face in a society that becomes more and more unholy and anti-Christian. Wilt thou keep them safe in thy care and grant that they may also seek that safety with thee in prayer and living close to thy word. Lord, grant all of us, young and old alike, faithfulness in this relentless battle in which so often Satan is attacking us to lure us away from thee. But we also pray for those in the church discipline, as well as for those who have turned their back upon thee. We pray thee will thou work repentance, so that they may turn back to thee. Help all of us to reach out to them in compassion and humbleness. Above all, Father, make us faithful in praying for all those who have gone astray. Yet also this morning, Father, we pray thee, let not today's time of grace run out on them. But we pray thee for the work of synods. Continue to be with the delegates. Grant them wisdom and strength in the task thou hast given them. Throughout the past week, synod could deal with various ecclesiastical contacts. And in the greetings of these various churches, Father, we could receive a glimpse of how Christ indeed gathers his church worldwide. We could also hear about the struggles many churches go through. The attacks of Satan in today's secular climate. Attacks as we experience them also here in Australia. Lord, we pray thee, be with thy churches in this battle, which will only become more severe when we come closer to the return of our Savior. In that context, Father, we pray thee be also near to our schools. We thank thee that we still have the freedom to give our children an education on the basis of thy word. But Father, also this freedom is more and more under attack. We pray thee bless the meeting of tomorrow evening when the future planning also of the school here in Rockingham will be discussed. Lord, this morning we thank thee with great joy that Verheven could receive 2 years of reaccreditation. Lord, we have prayed fervently for that over the past years. Thou hast also helped the staff and the board in coming this far, that it was granted, not in the first place by the government, but as a gracious gift from thy hand. And that's what we thank thee for. Lord, be now near, also in time to come, with the new board, Father, the staff, be with the residents. We commit them all into thy care, and will thou watch over them, and grant them each in their own circumstances what they need. Lord, when we pray to thee, there is often so much on our minds. At times we don't even know how to put it all into words. Even our prayers are often broken. Yet, Lord, we humbly ask thee to accept our thanksgiving and to hear also this prayer, not because we deserve it, but we plead our cause in the name of thy Son, our Mediator, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Yes, Father, hear us graciously. In Jesus' name. Amen. We started the service with singing Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. Let us conclude the service with singing Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. Receive the blessings of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Amen.